This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Newell Norman enjoying some well-deserved time off. I'm Dave Cohen, enjoying being with you here each day this week, and glad that John Cuvion is with us today, Louisiana-based pollster and founder of JMC Analytics and Polling. John, how you doing?
Really good. Thanks for having me on your show.
Yeah, you know, these have got to be exciting times for people in your business because politics has just become so wild and crazy, and so many more people are keying in and paying attention that it's got to feel great to you that you are now amongst a much larger group of people who care about what you are so passionate about.
Especially in a supposedly off year.
Yes. Is there even an off year in politics anymore?
No, not really, because, you know, the thing about it is, so being that we have our statewide elections in an off year, that theoretically means that 3 out of 4 years in election cycle, there'll always be something interesting going on. And then on the fourth year, you do have the New Orleans mayoral race. So anyway, as they would say, it's all politics all the time here in our state.
Yeah, and we get the sheriff's race, which is suddenly very interesting here in New Orleans as well this year. But of course, the mayor's race generating so much buzz already. 225 days left for New Orleans Mayor LaToya Cantrell. Many would argue she's already left office, but she's technically still the mayor as far as we know. So very interesting, and you don't have to comment on this, John, but just so our listeners know, yesterday the mayor's office sent us an email, this lengthy email with reports from every department about their preparations for the hurricane season. Normally, the mayor of New Orleans holds a news conference where they greet the public and tell them that the city's ready for hurricane season and give the public reports from all of the department heads and let them know what the city's doing and what they should be doing to get ready. Looks like this year, unless they're going to add it at the last minute, the mayor's not doing that. She just sent out an email. I guess that is the definition of mailing it in. So that having been said, that's not why we had you on.
I will politely and objectively say, sounds like delegation.
that is very polite. And I don't know if you can achieve objectivity in this case, but politeness you did achieve. So congratulations. There's no off time for politics now. This is a crazy wild time in politics. The big, beautiful bill squeaks out of the House of Representatives. And now the big question is, does it remain intact? Does it pass the Senate? And does it do all the things that are President Trump's legislation he has handpicked and wants desperately to get passed? How are things playing out on the Hill and here amongst the people in terms of, is this thing going to pass as is, get through the Senate and give the president this huge victory?
So truthfully, this is one of those things we could almost have 5 shows on the intricacies and the nuances of the politics once a bill passes into the Senate. But to keep things short, quick, and to the point, I think there's 3 laws of political physics that have to be mentioned here. The first is that in the Senate, like with the House, Republicans have minimal votes to spare, which means any kind of defection is immediately a big deal because Democrats are pretty much 100% no on just about everything. So that's rule number one, or law of physics number one. Number two, the fact that senators like to deliberate, you know, as was said about the U.S. Senate once, they're the world's largest or greatest deliberative body, and they do take advantage of that authority. Rule number three, or should I say law of political physics number three, this is going to be an acid test of President Trump's influence. And to tell you the truth, a lot of this from reading the particulars reminds me of the Obamacare / Affordable Care Act sausage making that went on in 2009, where the long and short of what had happened was Nancy Pelosi was largely driving what was happening more so than Barack Obama was. Well, in this case, what you have is the president himself, President Trump, is basically going to have to play whip, party whip, as he did with the House, and I suspect with the Senate. But the difference between the House and the Senate is that because the Senate likes to deliberate everything, Trump's influence to me has kind of a limit when you're talking about wanting to press a senator who's holding out on the bill from supporting it, when there may be certain things like, let's say, concern about hospital closures or too many people being kicked off their health care or solar tax credits or all those kinds of little intricacies that affect some senators' home constituency, to where it's harder to corral them than it is in the House. So that very long, even though summarized description, is kind of how I see the politics of this playing out, which is, can those senators who are mad at the bill for either A, things that are being cut, or B, spending that's not being cut enough, can they be corralled together to pass this bill? And by the way, we've not even begun to talk about procedural objections the Senate Democrats may have. So this, to me, is going to be the soap opera of the summer.
And you think it's going to take all summer before we know? This isn't going to happen quickly.
I don't think it'll be quick. And what was interesting, there was an article I was reading this morning, I think it was in thehill.com, where an anonymous Senate aide would not be surprised to see this going past July 1st. And I would tend to agree with that statement, not just the fact that you have a Senate aide saying this, but just from the kind of the way the Senate likes to work, which is, first, President Trump has got to corral all the Republicans, or at least enough to get to 51 votes. But then we don't even, that's not even talking about procedural objections the Democrats may throw up. So I don't see this as a quick kind of, you know, hit. It's going to be more like there's going to be deals, there's going to be, you know, little side plots and so forth before this bill can emerge. I think it's slightly more likely than not that it would survive intact, because one thing that also pushes back against these senators having their way and changing the bill too much is the fact that the changes would have to be agreed to by the House. And given the amount of huffing and puffing it took just to get the bill out of the House by a very, very narrow vote, that does exert some discipline on senators who would want to change the bill too much. So as you can appreciate, there's so many side angles and nuances to this. We could almost do five shows.
No, and I get that.
Beautiful bill week, you know?
Yeah, it is a big bill, and I guess the question for the Senate is it beautiful, and will they pass it intact? And you're giving it narrow probability of passing intact.
Yes.
Because if it has to go back to the House, then forget July. We're into, because then the House has to get it. Do they change it? Do they have to send it back to the Senate? We may be into into November by then. What are the issues that you think the Senate has the biggest problems with in the so-called big, beautiful bill?
Several of them I can think of right away would be, number one, the level of deduction for state and local taxes. This is something that if we go back into the time machine in 2017, when they severely curtailed the amount of deductions you could take for state and local taxes, that was a big thing back then. But I think you could also make the argument it cost the Republicans their majority in the House the next year. So the state and local tax deduction, also known as the SALT deduction, will be number one. Number two, the extent of Medicaid cuts, because what you're talking about is if you are throwing people off the Medicaid rolls, you have a very real concern about whether rural hospitals can close. And that is a concern that the Republican senators, at the very least in Missouri and Kansas, have, but is a very real issue here in Louisiana as well. And then the third thing I was
believe Mike Johnson when he says all they're doing is cutting waste, abuse, and fraud, and that they're not going to be throwing people in mass off of the rolls unless they're fraudulently accessing this federally managed healthcare system?
Well, what the concern is there is what is said and then the concern about what the practical impact could be, because if you're talking about saving money, what the bottom line is that would mean less people being enrolled in the Medicaid program. And less people being enrolled in the Medicaid program all of a sudden creates a very real issue for hospitals that depend on that federal Medicaid money. So like I said, there's a lot of parts to the Medicaid puzzle that goes beyond. In other words, there is the waste and fraud part, which is, well, maybe this aspect of the program is not being administered correctly. But then there's the part which I think people fear, which is if you kick people off, the financial impact it may have on hospitals, particularly rural ones that are quite dependent on that money.
So, one person's waste is another person's necessary spending, much like one person's pork is another person's bringing home the bacon.
Don't tax you, don't tax me, tax the person behind the tree, as Russell Long once said.
All right, so we have to worry about how it affects state and local taxes, and if the Senate is happy with the breakdown on that, worried about really what it does, and sound bites are great, but when you get down to the dollars and cents, what it does to Medicare, Medicaid, and that entire system, that could be a stumbling block in the Senate, and you said there's a third one.
SNAP benefits. That's the food nutritional program.
Most people call it food stamps. It's technically called SNAP now. And again, this is the question. Is it really getting people off of these food benefits who don't deserve them and shouldn't have them? Or is it cutting the rolls for the sake of cutting the rolls?
Right. And see, the thing that gets messy when you're talking about reducing federal spending, as Elon Musk had discovered several months ago, number one, you got to be very careful about setting some kind of amount that you think you can cut, because there's always going to be some political sacred cow that you're overturning. In addition to the fact that maybe it is a case of the quote-unquote waste and fraud is really a program being managed inefficiently, which then means you have to have agency leadership take care. In other words, as opposed to just slashing at something with a meat axe, I think oftentimes you need to get into the fine-tuning of how a program or whatnot works and try to get savings that way, which, of course, is the boring, more involved part. But that's how you really get reforms out of a system, as opposed to just saying, well, I'm going to, you know, automatically cut $2 trillion from whatever. It's like, okay, where do those cuts go? So as they always say, the devil's in the details when you're talking about reducing spending.
We're talking with political analyst John Cuvion. You led me into our next topic when you mentioned Elon Musk. He's come out critical of the Big Beautiful Bill. He's in this bromance with Donald Trump. They're besties, but he doesn't like it because his job was to cut federal spending, and this bill increases the federal deficit.
It's not like I agree with everything the administration did, but it's difficult for me to bring that up in an interview because then it creates a bone of contention. So then I'm a little stuck in a bind where I'm like, I don't want to speak out against the administration. I also don't want to take responsibility for everything the administration is doing.
But he is speaking out against the administration and has said that the Big Beautiful Bill is bad because it increases spending when he thought the whole idea was to cut spending. We'll ask John Cuvion what he thinks about that coming up after this. And I want to talk about how the people feel. We talked about the senators and their concerns. Obviously, they want to get reelected. So what do the numbers tell us on what the American people and the people here in Louisiana feel about this Big Beautiful Bill that increases spending instead of decreasing it, cuts SNAP, cuts medical spending, and has other issues that they may or may not like? We'll talk to John Cuvion about that. I want to hear from you. 504-260-1870. You love it? You hate it? You support it because it's Trump's bill? What do you think? Text me. Call me now. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text Line.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Never ceases to amaze me whenever I talk politics that people from the far left and people from the far right call or text and accuse me of being on the other side. For those of you who have listened to me in the past, you should know I am registered no party. I do not affiliate myself with or identify with either the far right Republicans or the far left Democrats that now dominate our national politics and more our state politics as well. I think that 80% of Americans are in the middle somewhere, and that the middle gets screwed over and over and over again because the left and the right have these massive loud voices, and everybody in the middle just gets passed right over, and it's got to be one or the other, and there's no compromise. That's a dirty word now. There's no coming together there, and there's no middle. So most of us who are in the middle are in a bad, bad place. And I found it very interesting that Elon Musk, who has spent his life catering to the far left wing by producing these energy efficient electric cars that liberals love, then has this bromance with Donald Trump and joins the administration to help try to cut spending at the federal level, only to now be walking away from it and telling us he doesn't agree with everything Trump does, but he doesn't want to say he doesn't agree with everything Trump does, because then there's a fight. Listen again to what he said.
It's not like I agree with everything the administration does, but it's difficult for me to bring that up in an interview because then it creates a bone of contention. So then I'm a little stuck in a bind where I'm like, I don't want to speak out against the administration. I also don't want to take responsibility for everything the administration is doing.
So read between the lines. He does not agree with the big, beautiful bill. He thinks it increases spending, increases the deficit, and is counter to everything he was brought in to do. Yet Trump today seems to still love him, said he will always be a part of the administration. We're talking with John Kuvion with JMC Analytics, a pollster and analyst. And John, I think aren't a lot of our lawmakers also kind of stuck in the same position where you can't speak out against Donald Trump because then he'll take a political vendetta against you, but it might hurt their reelection bids, especially in the midterms, or like with Senator Cassidy, we're seeing a huge effort to battle him for reelection because he has not been 100% on Team Trump.
Well, you know, Elon Musk's remarks to me are the perfect kind of challenge that anybody from the outside of the political world faces when he or she tries to go into politics to begin with. And that is, the fundamental nature of politics is entirely different than the fundamental nature of business. And I'm going to slip into the vernacular here. Politics is all about rubbing backs and scratching bellies and vice versa. In other words, it's a very transactional kind of sport, as it were. And so what that means is that you may have your core principles and think you want to do XYZ, but XYZ kind of is subordinate to the plain reality of you need to get a sufficient number of votes in the House and the Senate to get a big, beautiful bill to the president's desk to sign. So while Elon Musk may have his ideas about how he thinks spending and or spending cuts should work, well, he's running smack dab against the political realities of what senators and or constituencies and or representatives want or don't want. So like I said, when I hear that kind of remark, I'm thinking, okay, surely he has to appreciate that he may think that he could find all these spending cuts, but number one, is there in fact that waste that he thought there was? And number two, what constituencies is he impacting with these spending cuts? Because constituencies equals yes or no votes. And so that's the part of the equation which I think is fundamentally misunderstood here, is that he wants spending cuts, but the question is, will there be the votes for those spending cuts because of a senator who may not like rural hospitals closing or such and such tax credit being done away with or so forth? In other words, the cold, hard realities of politics versus, you know, an academic interest in what you think taxes or spending should be.
Well, someone like Bill Cassidy's got to make a difficult decision here, because even if there's things in this bill he doesn't like, if he votes against it, I got to imagine that his reelection gets even more difficult than it already is. And he's already in political hot water because he voted against Trump in his last term as president when they were going after him politically.
Right.
So I guess my question to you is, how does the average Louisiana voter feel about the big, beautiful bill? And how should Cassidy and our representatives react as a result, because they want to get reelected? Do they just blindly follow Trump and vote for everything he loves, or do they actually try to protect rural hospitals or get concerned about increasing the size of the deficit or government spending?
Right. So this is one of those questions where, as you can appreciate, there are a lot of little like offshoots to it. I will try to stick to just Senator Cassidy. So with Senator Cassidy, not only is he up for re-election next year, but he's going to be facing a Republican primary for the first time since 2010. And by 2010, I'm talking about that was the last time we tried party primaries in our state before that got repealed. So you're talking about facing an electorate, and it will be in April, by the way, where something like 70 to 80% of those who vote in that primary are going to be hardcore political activist types, probably like 70 to 80% registered Republicans. So that factor alone, I'm sure, has to weigh heavily in Senator Cassidy's decision about to what extent does he toe the Donald Trump line. The ones I would expect the defections to come from would be from more moderate Republican senators, like, say, a Susan Collins of Maine or a Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, where they, or Tom Tillis of North Carolina, where they may be in more marginal states and they want to survive November. So those kinds of calculations to me kind of put Trump, I mean, pun intended, Trump everything else, because the stuff you're talking about, you know, what the people think, it's really a case of, I think people in the abstract would agree on, you know, cutting waste, cutting spending, da-da-da-da. But then when you start getting into specific spending cuts, the question is who wants to give up his or her favorite program? And that's where the complications always occur in politics, in addition to the are you going to be on Trump's good side or not equation. So, like I said, lots of little offshoots to that simple question that you have.
Do you think Cassidy votes for it or against it?
I'd say four.
Does he really have a choice?
Not really. Because the thing you have to remember is when you're talking about aspects of your record between 2021 and 2026, or in his case, really 2015 to 2026 that you're going to have to defend. So you have the impeachment slash conviction vote. And the reason I'm saying slash conviction is the Senate is the one that does the conviction. The House does the impeachment. So you already have that kind of on the top of the list of demerits, so to speak. That really doesn't give you much margin for error in terms of disagreeing with the president on other issues, because the last thing you want to do is some oppo ad come out and say, well, Senator Cassidy opposes the Trump agenda in this, 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 and this way. Right now, I think he's just limiting it to one this, but you do not want to, you know, have as something he's got to defend that he voted against the big, beautiful bill, which therefore means he's against the administration. And you know as well as I do that that's how the political ads would go if he were to vote no on it.
Absolutely. And that would just give Fleming and anybody else who wants to challenge him far more fuel in what is still Louisiana is still a strong MAGA state, right? Deep red.
It is. Now, the thing that I think confuses people when you talk about being a strong MAGA slash Trump slash Republican state is by default, I think a Republican candidate has a much easier chance of winning in our state. But it's not like the voters are at 100% agreement on every single part of what Donald Trump is pushing. So there's a fine point there to be had. But for Senator Cassidy, he has to worry more about April 2026, and that is a primary where even though technically no parties can vote in addition to Republicans, it's going to be Republicans who are going to dominate the primary electorate. And the inconvenient truth of with this being an April primary, I'm expecting a pitifully low turnout, like maybe 20%, if even that. So imagine your whole fate being determined by a couple hundred thousand voters, but that is the reality of what Senator Cassidy has to consider for next April.
And those are probably those that 20% that turns out for that election are those who are most emotional and most motivated to vote, either because they love or hate one of the candidates.
Well, what I'll say is when you have a turnout that is that low, you're talking about people who really, really follow the issues. In other words, I would make the argument that probably the vast majority of that 20% turnout has already made up their mind one way or another. It then becomes a case of who can you motivate to the polls more to vote? But with these being the chronic voters, these are the types of people who already know the issues or believe they know the issues, as opposed to, say, the types of occasional voters you might see in November of 2028 or 2024.
Someone text us on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line at 504-260-1870. What happened to the spines of the moderates? They are completely silent and afraid to stand up to the big orange mafia boss. Do we have a situation now where we only hear from the far right and the far left, and where the voices in the middle are either silenced or unheard? And if so, why?
So what's interesting about the moderates and spines is you have kind of two aspects to that question. The first, of course, is if you're moderate, that means historically you'd be more concerned about getting enough independents to win in November, and that's certainly the kind of thing that a Susan Collins would have to worry about in a state that typically votes Democratic. But there's become a second part of the equation to that if you're a moderate, and that is you got to get past your party's primary first. And so one of the things that started happening, and I could trace the beginnings of this back to 2010 with the Tea Party wave, all of a sudden primary voters became much more skeptical of Republican incumbents and threw them out a lot more. Now, since President Trump has been inaugurated, I'm seeing that kind of energy occurring on the Democratic side now, where if you're not 110% against Donald Trump, you may not be able to survive a party primary. But that's the problem that moderates have, is not just the gauntlet of getting past the general election, but being able to get through a party primary. So that kind of gravitational pull is affecting how these moderates vote and or the amount of spine they could have.
So it's as strong on the left as it is on the right. You either love Donald Trump on the right if you want to get elected or reelected, or you hate Donald Trump on the left 100% or 110%, like you said, if you want to get elected or reelected. And that means there's no room for compromise, for moderating, or anything in the middle.
Yes, and what becomes interesting about that emotion is you do have people now who are pushing. It's kind of ironic, in Louisiana, while we're going to be partially closing primaries for top-of-the-ballot races starting next year, there's other states where the push is on to open up the primaries to everybody. In other words, do a variation of the Louisiana primary. So, you know, politics swings back and forth so much. I think that that condition that you're describing is going to lead to more open primaries. Because if you have two groups of 50% strength that are 100% opposed to the other guy and will not have any room for discussion, well, you can't have a functioning government that way.
We're talking with John Kuvion about the big, beautiful bill and all the issues surrounding it. And I'm really angry that we're in a place now where the middle has no voice, because I think the vast majority of Americans are in the middle. They're not all the way to the left or all the way to the right. And these closed primaries that Louisiana's just gone to, I understand why, because the far right's controlling things and they want to keep controlling things. So they want to have closed primaries. We'll see how long it survives this time around. We'll continue our conversation with John Kuvion coming up. Someone just texted in and said, I'm of the opinion that Trump's coattails are getting shorter. What does John think? Well, we'll find out if Trump's coattails are getting shorter, longer, or they're just the same length. How much political power does this president have right now? We'll ask John that, and we'll bring it to the local level as well. And somebody else wants to know, what about this talk of John Bel Edwards running against Cassidy for U.S. Senate? We'll dive into that conversation with John Kuvion up next. If you have a question or a comment, 504-260-1870.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Attention sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus TNC supply.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. we're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
We're talking about the big, beautiful bill with John Cuvion, Louisiana-based pollster, analyst, founder of JMC Analytics and Polling. And he's already told us that he thinks that it will, it has a narrow likelihood of getting through the U.S. Senate and passed to the president's desk intact. But it's going to be a long, drawn-out battle all summer long till we see if that actually happens. And we've gotten a lot more discussion in about how the far left and the far right are so dominating now in national politics and increasingly in state and local politics as well. John, someone texted in before the break and said, I'm of the opinion that Trump's coattails are getting shorter. What does John think? So what does John think?
I was chuckling because I'm thinking about, you know, it's almost like I'm up to bat and, you know, these balls are being tossed at me and I'm hitting them out the park. But
so is this a softball or is this a 110 mile an hour fastball?
Nah. 110 mile an hour fastball. But that's all right. It's fun. There's actually one part before I get to the Trump's coattails question. Before the break, the subject was of the dominance of the far left and the far right and the concern over what can be done. Well, there's actually something that can be done, and that is part of the reason that you see these results that you do in these primaries is abysmally low primary voter participation. So in other words, if you don't have alternatives number one and number two, if you don't vote in primaries, that tends to create the results that people are wringing their hands over. So that's like PSA number one.
That's an interesting point because if you hate both choices on a ballot and you don't vote, well, then because you can't hold your nose and vote for either one, you're also, though, creating a situation where in the future this is more likely to repeat itself. So you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Correct. And you know, politics to me is kind of fairly related to our free enterprise system, which is ultimately if voters feel strongly enough about something, that's going to be the policy that gets, implemented. But it's a case of voters have to make their, you know, opinions be known to elected officials and elected officials will respond. So that's a PSA of the day.
I just fear, though, that with this cycle we're seeing where Trump comes in and literally reverses everything he can that Biden just did, much like in Louisiana, we get a new Republican governor and Jeff Landry who comes in and reverses everything he can that John Bel Edwards did, that we're going to be in these wild swings of politics. And so we're just going to be flying like a pendulum from one side to the other and never resting in the middle.
But, you know, an interesting discipline that is built into the system, and I'm speaking right now about Louisiana, the Louisiana Senate tends to like to think things over. So, in other words, you are correct in that the governor has an agenda, and he, more often than not, will be able to pass it through the House. But the Senate tends to like to think things over. So that's one discipline you have over the system. Now, with regards to Trump's coattails, I'm going to give a terse one-word response to that, maybe, and that one word is maybe, and let me tell you why. So
a terse maybe.
The thought is, yeah, a terse maybe. There you go. There's the soundbite of the day, you know, John Cuvion with his terse maybe. But there's several data points I'm looking at here with regards to why I'm giving my terse maybe. So at the fundamental level, whenever I hear people talking about, oh, Trump's collapsing and the world's ending, blah, 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 well, let's see what the data says. And so the most obvious place to go is looking at presidential approval polls. Now, from what I've seen, depending on which pollster you want to believe, you could see him in the low 40s to the upper 40s. And whenever I see these pollsters showing Trump in the low 40s, more often than not, if I look at how that pollster did in the presidential election, I'll see that they overstated the Democratic support, that is, of course, Kamala Harris. So if I see a pollster that's showing that, okay, Trump may be at 42% approval, yet it showed Kamala Harris leading by a point or two in the last week of October, well, you could appreciate why I would discount the validity of that kind of data. I think that probably where Trump's approval is sitting right now is like in the 47 to 48% range. And he has a very narrow range in which he operates, which is you're never going to see him with 60%. But I also don't believe for a second he only would get 40% approval. I think you have this really solid 45, 6, 7% of the vote that is for him regardless. And you're basically fighting over the 2 to 3%. So in other words, the approval rating has slipped a little bit, but not like catastrophically. But the other data point, which I like to look at with when evaluating the Trump is collapsing or has no coattails, I look at voter registration changes around the country because 30 states register voters by party, and that data is available online. And around Christmas time, from last fall to about January, Republicans were doing very well with voter registrations. Like if you were to look at the changes in the numbers, Republicans were dominating. What I've seen since then, Republicans are not really registering people per se, but I'm not seeing pickups in the Democratic side of the aisle. I'm seeing more gains with, ironically, no parties. So I would say that with those two data points I'm seeing, which is polling and voter registration, I think things are softening for the Republicans, but I don't think it's at the danger line yet. But having said that, let's see what happens with Virginia and New Jersey's statewide elections this fall, because depending on how well the Democrats do, that to me is kind of a signal for if there is this blue wave that is starting. And, you know, Virginia, with the large number of federal employees that it has, I'm not expecting much from Republicans there at all. It's a case of how well can they contain the damage. New Jersey is going to be an interesting one because it has been moving to the right in the last couple of elections. And if there is indeed a blue wave, I would expect Democrats to just have these massive numbers this fall. But let's say Republicans keep it to within like 5 or so points. That to me is indicative of you have more of a 50-50 nation, which would mean not much changes in the midterms next year. So,
all right. Well, you've justified your terse maybe.
Yeah.
John, exactly. We appreciate it. Like you said, we could do 5 shows on this. Unfortunately, yeah. We only had time to do 1 right now. So we look forward to talking to you again real soon. Thank you for joining us. Have a great weekend. Enjoy this great weather we're going to get this weekend.
Absolutely. Take care.
John Cuvion on WWL. I'll share some of my thoughts after this. Well, it didn't take long for people with their red-colored or blue-colored earphones to accuse me of being a Trump lover or a Trump hater. It's amazing how people hear what they want to hear. Two people can listen to the same exact conversation we just had, and they want to paint me with their red brush or their blue brush. Unbelievable. I'm in the middle. I'm no party. I'm not cheerleading for either the far left or the far right. I am fighting for the people, and the vast majority of us people live somewhere in the middle. But people will hear what they want, and they will say what they want, and that's really what makes this such an amazingly beautiful and exciting Republican democracy in which we live, is that we have gotten to a point where I think we have more people willing to speak out, speak up, and share their views. Unfortunately, it comes because they have been so diminished and their voices have been so silenced that we're left all getting screwed in the middle, and it's just the fringes that are getting what they want ever, and we're going to swing back and forth from one fringe to the other. Just my opinion. I'm Dave Cohen in for Newell Norman. Coming up next hour, we're going to find out about some exciting things going on the North Shore and about how the thriving North Shore is seeing economic gains. We'll also mix in the conversation about, is the infrastructure finally catching up to the demand with the population boom?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.